What's happening? Hour number three, J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. What else is happening? Tennessee Titans, Cumulus Nashville announced multi-year extension of exclusive broadcast agreement. They're going to be here for a while, folks. Titans Radio sticking with us through 2025.
Awesome, man.
Means Mike Heath in the building. Means Coach Mack in the building. Means Amy Wells in the building. Means Rep Brian in the building. Means Buck Rising and you doing some work with them this season as well. Means the Mike Vrabel Show. Means Titans Tonight. Means Mack Talk. Means player shows. Mm. Means all sorts of content.
That was amazing.
Pretty daggone awesome is what this it is to lock them down going absolutely nowhere.
Real good vibes, man. This is awesome. To be able to do this, and the Titans are getting ahead of it too by allowing themselves to be out here for this long and just evolving the show, doing more things. Like you said, the stuff, Mack Talk, and just doing Titans Tonight, the Mike Vrabel Show, just players' weekly shows. You want to see that content, and you get it right here, man. This partnership has been good. It's going to continue to be that way. I know I'm excited. Even in my first 10 months on the job, man, I've met some really cool people at the Titans facilities, the front office. It's been really good. It's just all around. It's been first class for sure.
So top observation, I'm just going to try and read all the comments that have come in about this because I don't know where this came from. We're in the middle of an interview, a college football interview. We got Rep Brian in here. We're breaking the news. Excited about Titans Radio. Everybody in the building's excited. And then I see this, and this is the epitome of what you come to find on Zone TV during this program with the fam. That's what we call the listeners. They're always taking applicants. All you got to do is show up and be ridiculous. Twitch, YouTube in particular is where they're loud. One thing we've noticed is Twitch, people just kind of hang out. YouTube, they get completely out of control.
Yeah, they do.
Facebook Live and Periscope, where Jeff Schwartz dropped the line of the day for my money about you and your Tennessee fandom. He said he wasn't able to hear afterwards because his wife had a phone call whether or not we addressed it. I'm like, oh, I addressed it.
We definitely addressed it.
I addressed it, saying, I didn't know. Did Ramon play at UT? I don't know, based on all the UT stuff you're wearing today. But I'm just going to read a bunch of things out of context here.
Yeah.
You try to figure this out. I'm not even going to tell you who said it. These are all listeners talking amongst themselves. I'm smoking a tenderloin and a stick chub of bologna. Got to throw some Gruden's mustard on that bad boy. I'm going to leave that one off because that one's not safe for work. Bologna. I always find it interesting what people put on their sandwich. Bologna is good. Lonzo, you bougie. I see smoking the bologna is different now. I'm frying some right now with a fried egg and cheese. I never knew so many folks like the mystery meat that is bologna. Breakfast of champions. I was last weekend old when I found out that bologna and hot dogs are the same thing. Nah, breakfast of champions is two scrambled eggs, crumbled sausage, jalapeno, American cheese, and a honey chipotle sauce wrapped in a tortilla, baby.
Oh, wow.
This pellet grill is amazing. My bologna has a first name. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Bologna and hot dogs don't taste the same, though. The Big Bologna, wasn't that Ramon's nickname in high school? Well, Cousin Andrew, this is the budget breakfast of champions. Deli sliced crown bologna, two fried eggs, mayo, tomato, hot mustard, and Colby Jack cheese, the clogger. And it just keeps, it's still going. We didn't mention any kind of sandwich, meat, or anything else. All of that is top observation material because we say sometimes there's a show within a show.
Yeah, it is.
That's the show within the show. So, as a result, poll question that I posted at JMart Radio, at Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, and of course, at JMart and Ramon. Is bologna yes or no?
I only eat one type of bologna. It's from Memphis. Starling bologna. Only one type. I will not eat your Oscar Mayer bologna, whatever it is. Absolutely not.
Everyone always likes their meat hot.
I remember that conversation. but yeah, nobody had mentioned that, man. I'll tell you what we got full of it yesterday was the bologna of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know if that was bologna. I mean, all the other stuff that's happened for months is bologna.
That might have been the most honest he's been.
You know what? We'll take it.
I will say, let's say this. Well, let's save it because we don't have the time to get into a totally new topic. I want to talk about this Big 12 ESPN thing because I'm so fascinated by it. But we'll stick with A-Rodge for just a second here. Aaron Rodgers talked for 32 minutes. He was pretty thoughtful. He seemed pretty, it seemed genuine to me. But the most important thing that he said, outside of I want Randall Cobb back, is that he had fun being away from football.
Yep.
He may say, or he may think he wants to play for a little while, but I don't see him playing like Tom Brady wants to play to 45. Or Russell Wilson saying he wants to play to 45. I don't see that in him. I think that it's very reasonable to believe he wants to play elsewhere. Couldn't get out,
yeah.
And so he's back. And now he's, guys, I always wanted to be here. Even though that really wasn't the case, but he couldn't get his way out of there. At least he's got this situation where everybody's walking on eggshells in that organization to make sure that he's happy. But I could see him going somewhere else for maybe 2 years and being out.
But see, this
max,
and that's what I was gonna say. This is the thing too. You got to look at him when it's talking about full baloney. Like everything he said and all this stuff they are conceding to him is baloney too. Since we got a baloney topic here, man, simply because this is too much power given up. This is too much. You've exposed us to what we kept inside our building, meaning the way Green Bay operated. That I don't think they can keep him regardless. They got an evaluation period post the season. About him and did we satisfy your needs? I'm with him, and I appreciate him going to bat for his guys. I appreciate him saying, hey, y'all got to do better with keeping vets around that make this locker room the way it is. Cohesion and the workplace is something that we all want. We all wanted to be kumbaya, yeah, with a couple scuffles. I ain't going to say scuffles, a couple disagreements here or there. But that's what he's alluding to. Y'all messed up the vibes that we have in this locker room. And now you got to go to him to see if they satisfied it. One, maybe 2 years is all he's doing there. I wouldn't be surprised if he's done this year.
No, I think this is it. I do think this is it. I think it's crazy to think, oh, well, now they know how to keep him. Just make him happy. I Devontae wants to be paid max money.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to get paid whether it's there or elsewhere. The key to keeping Devontae might be keeping him.
Mm-hmm.
But more than anything, I think it's just Aaron Rodgers couldn't get out. If you look at the odds, it's like next season, plus 300 Packers, plus 350 Denver, and then it's like plus 500 and then some other names that pop out for some other teams. I've said before, if he left, I thought he would go to Denver with her ties, with his fiance, Shailene Woodley's ties to Colorado, and just maybe liking the receiving room there or liking the vibe there. The other thing Aaron Rodgers could potentially dictate next year if he wanted to is who the next head coach for Denver is going to be, because I don't think it's going to be Fangio. If you let Fangio go, then Aaron Rodgers could literally step in with the new GM and be like, here's who I'd like to coach us for the next few years. And at that point, why wouldn't you listen to him? Because then you get that deal done.
I'm the captain.
Find a way
now to
get that done.
Oh. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of power. When we come back, Emily Proud, we'll talk some Titans training camp with her, other things. We'll get her thoughts on A.A. Ron as well. And just to lure her into weird conversations that continue all over the chat right now on Zone TV, where if you've never hung out with these people, you're going to love and hate them. But they're ready for you right now.
Take a helmet and a lunch.
Ask her if she is someone that only eats Memphis bologna. Or if that's just hashtag humble Hendersonville.
Baloney number one is, you know what? Get out of the chat, man.
No, but it's you're trying to say baloney's bargain. That's what you're about to say.
It is.
Yeah, but you're talking about, but I only get it from Memphis. I get it shipped in.
No, I don't.
In a cooler.
If my folks come up to my house, I'll be like, hey, bring me some. And it's grill. You know what? We're going to grill some.
When you open up the cooler, does it play Mozart?
See what we're doing.
You open it up and Flight of the Valkyries plays.
I'm the only one that live in humble Hendersonville, okay? Simple Sumner. That's where we are.
Yeah.
You and Brash Brentwood. Big money Brentwood.
Only Gracious one. Gallatin.
Gracious Gallatin.
Oh.
Yes.
Galling Gallatin. We'll be right back. Emily Proud, WKRM, will join us. We'll talk some Titans here. 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin Amon, 104.5 The Zone. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville, 150 years of residential commercial experience. Get your garage game stepped up through our guys, allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville. That's where you want to go to learn more. All our guests arrived via the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, including this lady, WKRN's Emily Proud, our friend. Emily, how are you?
How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. So I caught a couple of minutes of you over the weekend when I was at my in-law's house. You looked to be ready for that gig. Not that I was shocked, but everything seemed to go very well.
Well, that was a 2.5 minute sports cast. I got to do the whole thing now, so we'll see. but thank you.
So is it just starting this coming weekend?
Yes, my first show is Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't even notice the topics. I thought it had already started, but obviously I know you know the sports side of things, but I have no fear of what's going on. So we came in leaving it. You can go ahead to marry me. Ryan Tannehill talking yesterday. Basically, he said, look, I probably wouldn't get the vaccine, but the NFL has pretty much made it clear that I can't have the kind of chemistry with my teammates if I don't. What do you think about his decision and his rationalization for what he did?
Yeah, so this is a complex thing to talk about, obviously. But I think two things can be true. One, we can recognize that he's being a good leader by backing it up and taking the shot because he understands that that's kind of the greater good for his team. And that's what it means to be a leader, is sometimes not always doing what you want to do, but doing what's best for the team. So I admire him for that and for coming to that conclusion that this is really what's going to be best for me and my team. But, you know, what's also true is the rationalization of why he was so against it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And he said that, you know, the Titans have brought in doctors and medical experts, yet he still wasn't sure, but declined to say why. I mean, is he pulling out like a microscope in his kitchen and doing his own research? That's what I just don't understand, is what's making him so apprehensive about it, that it's enough to not trust doctors that are telling you to your face that it's safe. And so that's where kind of it loses me, because I want to know why. I don't know what it is, what research he's done on his own that made it so that he can't listen to medical experts and he's so apprehensive about it. And, you know, it's good that he's being a leader and he did it to help out the team, but also it goes beyond that. John Robinson talked about that beforehand, is that he wants the Titans to be a leader in the community. And although Ryan Tannehill did it, it doesn't really sound like he's campaigning for it or advocating for it. And so it kind of loses me there, because he's a leader in the community as well. He's the starting quarterback of the NFL team here. And so if he's unsure about it, considering how many resources he has at his disposal, then that's just going to continue to perpetuate laziness within the community as well.
So, I mean, I think that's an interesting take. I mean, you think about Aaron Rodgers talked for 32 minutes yesterday. A lot of that seemed genuine, but it's Aaron Rodgers, so who the hell knows? And then you look at Ryan Tannehill, and I think he was very honest to his situation. I don't know that he went into too much detail on his thought processes. And maybe that's almost intelligent, Emily, just because nothing he said was going to satisfy the crowd that believes that the vaccine is something that you must do right now. It should be mandated, all of that. So I don't, him going into his reasons for being skeptical, I don't know, would have benefited him. But I wonder if he's going to get any kind of follow-up questions similar to what you just asked.
You just, you know, you want to show the receipts. Like, I just want to know why, just so, you know, other people can know, because that just further creates more skepticism. I mean, even it just the kind of vagueness of all of it. And Mike Vrabel on Wednesday, when he spoke and that he declined to give a specific percentage, what did everybody think? Oh, the Titans probably don't have that high of a percentage. That's why he didn't want to publicize it. Then we find out they're at 90%, which is great and on par with the rest of the league and better than most of the rest of the league. And so it's just by admission. I don't know if this is a societal thing or just kind of what we do nowadays, but we just assume that either you're wrong or that it's negative. We never go, oh, well, I'm sure you didn't want to say it because you don't want to brag to the rest of the league how good the Titans are doing. You know, it leaves room for more skepticism. And by him saying where he got his research and what caused apprehension for him, potentially we could clear up certain things like that. Like if it's, you know, he's nervous about long-term effects, well, we can say that, you know, they've done a lot of studies and you can show research about how the long-term effects are. You know, so it's just, you don't have any sort of clarity able to learn more about it. That's what everybody wants to do right now, right? Is everybody's making a personal decision for themselves and for their family, and you want to get as much information as possible. But for Ryan Tannehill just blanketly saying, I don't know, I'm just not sure about it. I only NFL told me to, but then not saying why you're unsure about it. It's to understand his reasoning about learning what his reasoning is.
I think when it comes to that pressure he's feeling, you know, I guess whether it's from the league, whether it's from the team, maybe it's even from his teammates. I know I saw a couple of Buffalo Bills players going at it publicly. It's Cole Beasley and their outside rusher was really going at it. And, you know, what was his name? Jerry Hughes is the guy. And just for instance, Jerry Hughes is just like, hey, look, bro, I want to continue to do what we did last year. We have a shot to be one of the best teams in the league and go chase this Lombardi Trophy. You would think that with what the Titans went through last year, as far as the COVID, the start and stop, and honestly, they were the ones that everybody curb stomped when it came down to the first outbreak. It's like, it's you guys, you guys, you guys. And the way you've seen Amy Adams Strunk and just the front office and Vrabel get ahead of everything from being progressive with everything that's going on at the facility, you would think that this shot thing is something they got to push because they know that they have to be a team that's going to compete in and at least have the ability to have everybody there. Whatever these protocols are going to be, it seems like that's going to be the case moving forward. Is, hey, if you don't like it, at least do it for this team. Is that how you're feeling this situation is with Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially exactly what he said, is that he did this for the team. It was a selfless decision, because if it was just himself in a vacuum, he didn't want to take it, and he did it of the team. So and it's not about the team. And that's the issue that people are having with Cole Beasley, is that, you know, when his teammates are pushing back, and, you know, everyone on Twitter is pushing back, because it's not about you, man. It's about the team, and we want to put ourselves in the best position. It's the same reason that you take care of your body. It's the same reason you show up to OTAs and you show up to meetings. To help the team out, and it's to be a good team player and get yourself ready to go. And although it stinks that this is something that we're having to debate in the year 2021, that a vaccine is a part of getting yourself ready to go, but maybe if some players just thought of it in that way, they would feel more comfortable about it. I'm doing this for my team. I'm making sure I put myself in the best.
I'm going to put Emily on hold just because we're having a little bit of an issue with her phone connection right now. I think she can probably hear me saying that, because I don't know if we're having any kind of breakup on her end, but she is there. So address there what she said.
Yeah. Like I said, watching Jerry Hughes and Cole Beasley kind of go at it a little bit yesterday, it was all on the mindset of we want to play ball and we want to see if we can play it all together. Again, if you don't choose to, that's fine. It's just that the rigors, as we heard Tannehill kind of say yesterday about this, they've kind of made it hard to, is something that's got to be looked at. And I'm trying right now to get somebody from the NFLPA on tomorrow so we can have a full open discussion about this. Whatever questions you have, we need you guys as fans, as people, consumers of this game, to bring them to the forefront. This is only one side of it from the NFLPA's standpoint, but they work hand in hand with the NFL too. So I'm looking forward to hearing George Atala give some understanding and explanation of what this is. And like you just said, Jay, nobody is right, wrong, indifferent on this thing. And everybody is dug in their heels on where they stand on it.
I think we got Emily back now. What I said on the chat, because obviously whenever you mention the word vaccine, it gets completely out of control on both sides. This vaccine, not all vaccines, but this specific vaccine has become the abortion debate in America. You're not changing anyone's mind. Whatever political side you find yourself on, whether it's pro, anti, whatever like that, on this specific vaccine, you're just not changing anybody's mind. Nobody's just, oh, you know what? I never thought of it that way. Now I'm going to change my mind. You're not seeing that happening right now. So that's what makes it such a complex issue, because so everybody's dug in, and not only do they feel like the other side is wrong, they feel like they're either immorally wrong or they're like rubes, like total idiots. Mm-hmm. And I think it's become kind of bad. Let's just say the spirit's become negative.
It has.
It hasn't been a very fruitful debate to have.
Can I say this? Last year this time, we were hoping for something, you know? And now it's like that is here. It's like, oh, well, I didn't want to take it. But, hey, it's your life, your world.
Indeed. So now Emily Proud is back with us. Emily,
what's up, Em?
If we move from the vaccine, which is controversial. Well, yeah, now I think we have you on a better line now. If we move from the controversial vaccine to the non-controversial Tennessee Titans offense that everybody likes, you got to see Julio make a couple plays yesterday. AJ's out there making plays. Derrick Henry's doing what Derrick Henry does. Tannehill looks sharp out there. There's just a lot of excitement right now, it feels like, around this city for this football team and what they might be able to accomplish this year.
Absolutely, and you didn't mention Anthony Firkser. Apparently he's beefed up quite a bit. I'm excited to see what his role is. I mean, he's gotten ringing endorsements from Delanie Walker and, you know, Ryan Tannehill talked about. Even Mike Vrabel, who usually doesn't bring up individual specific players, thought to bring him up in his introductory press conference on Wednesday. So I'm excited about him. And it seems like, you know, Ryan Tannehill's getting along well with Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator. He says he's worked with him before when he was the tight ends coach. And so, yeah, it's just a matter of getting it to all come together. And I think our initial skepticisms of, you know, people just want to find something wrong with it and find a hole of, you know, what's going to happen if the game's on the line. Do you go to A.J. Brown or do you go to Julio Jones? I think that's kind of dissipated as we learn more about who Julio Jones is as a teammate. We already know how much A.J. Brown idolizes him. And I think just that kind of key phrase that he said, Julio Jones said when he came initially to the Titans, saying that, I don't think A.J. Brown knows this, but I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, I think that kind of told us everything that we need to know, is that this isn't going to be, you know, a team with too many weapons and too many egos. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well,
Yesterday, the one guy, like I said, we hadn't been talking a good bit about is, and they need to come together too, but the guy is Fulton.
You're right the first time.
Thinking of Fulkerson.
That's John Fulkerson. I know John. You're wearing too much orange.
Yeah, I got
today.
On a lot of orange today. but him and just the way Janoris Jenkins and just Caleb Farley all is going to come together. And I know you can't talk about Caleb Farley, but this secondary group has got to stand up early and often this year. We know what the front end is going to bring, especially if Bug gets healthy. But those two units, the D-line and the secondaries, what is their mentality? What did they look like yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to bring back the my man catch no balls. Like I loved when they had an identity.
Yeah.
In the secondary, I mean, they had swag. They had their logo and their T-shirts and everything. I mean, it was something that they took pride in. And although most of the personnel is gone, it's basically just Kevin Byard that's still part of that group. I want him to remind them of how cool it can be if you really take this seriously. As we're our own crew. We're going to do, you know, what we need to do to make this team be successful. I mean, they were the drivers on the defense when Dean Pease was here a few years ago, and it was fun, and it was a unit. And so I think if they can bring some of that out, I love the leadership that they have in the secondary, and I love the young guys too. I think it's a great mix of kind of, you know, the young guys coming in and respecting their elders and people that have done it in the past, and they can really learn from them. And it seems, you know, as much as you want to say it's good to have a mix of leadership and youth, that youth has to be willing to learn from that leadership. And based on what we've seen from Christian Fulton and just talking to Imani Hooker, too, as I think is a great example. I mean, he idolizes Kevin Byard. He's been with him all offseason. He's soaking it all up. He wants to learn from a guy that he knows is one of the best at his positions. And so you have to have that willingness to take that, you know, to take that leadership that you're being given. I have no doubt in my mind that Janoris Jenkins and Kevin Byard will provide that leadership. It's just a matter of if they're willing to accept it. I mean, that's something that I know we have had the conversation with about Isaiah Wilson. We're already seeing that develop with Taylor Lewan and Dylan Radins and Roger Saffold. I mean, Saffold and Lewan came early to training camp to help him out. It's all about, it's a two-way street. You know, they have great leaders on the team. You just have to have great followers too. And so I'm excited about the defense this year too. I think it's a good mix. And I also think that they were given a mighty bright sign saying, if you don't do your job, you're out of here. Cause it was a bit of a mass exodus in the off season. So I think that hopefully there's a little bit of a fire lit under them, and I'm excited to see what they do.
Are you seeing like Jeff pick up where he left off last year? I think everybody said he was one of the most vocal leaders in that entire locker room. And they got some more savvy veterans around him now with DeNico and just Jack Rabbit. But is he still holding his own as far as leading that defense and team?
I hope so. I mean, full disclosure, I have not been out there the last 2 days. We're limited to the amount of people that can watch. So I'm like you guys. I'm soaking up every video I see on Twitter. But that's what was so cool to see last year is his development as a leader. We know he's awesome. We know he's gigantic. We know he impacts, the game at the line of scrimmage. But it was just exciting to see him go into that leadership role. Before every game, he was leading the pregame chant and getting everybody hyped up. And so that was something that, we didn't see out of him. And so, yes, I'm excited to see him continue it. But I also want to go out there and see who else is that Jeffrey Simmons that just kind of buds into a leader. I think Imani Hooker is the guy that could move into that role. He's already kind of understood that although he's, year three, he's still one of the older guys in the secondary. And so he's got to kind of take on that role too. But I'm excited to see who kind of the new leader that comes out of this is. That's always a fun part about training camp is a guy that comes out of nowhere and you're like, oh, whoa, I forgot about you. And they're leading everybody. So I'm excited to see who that person is this year. But absolutely, Jeffrey Simmons has got to keep it up.
Emily, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. We'll chat with you again soon.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Apologize for the phone issues, but thanks for having me on.
It's all good. That's radio right there. That's Emily Proud, WKRN. See, I thought I was watching her first newscast. I was all excited. Turns out I was just watching another sportscast.
Yeah, hey.
She was standing at the desk at the end of the show. I'm like, look at her doing the anchor thing.
Getting her reps
Not in. Quite.
Just getting her reps in.
Brian Gutekunst just said something.
Uh-oh.
I saw the quote. I have to read this before we get to break. We'll come back and do birthdays, of course. Albert Breer tweeted this out.
What'd he say?
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst on Aaron Rodgers' role in the Randall Cobb trade. Listen to this and try not to. I don't know that I can get through this without laughing. Quote, I think that's a big part of it. Without Aaron, we probably wouldn't be pursuing it. Randall's still a good player. This is what Aaron wanted. That's why we did it.
You know what I just realized too? He's mentored Amari. That's a big part of that. I think that's I ain't gonna say a big part, it's a small Amari Rodgers. That too right there is that's why he's brought in too, I'd say.
Without Aaron, we probably wouldn't be pursuing it.
Aaron.
Randall, welcome to Green Bay.
Aloysius.
The team is very much behind you.
Rodgers.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Birthday's coming up next. You keep that drop ready. We'll be right back. Jay Martin, your mom, 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin, your mom, 104.5 The Zone. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Nashville. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, Periscope where you can find us on Zone TV. You can find us on Twitter, of course, at Jay Martin and Ramon. YouTube, just the chat right now via everybody that's in there, new and old people we've seen a million times and people we're seeing for the first time. Just go hang out with those people. It's a wild time. Sometimes we feel like we're in a FOMO situation because we're just hosting the video show. We're like the game in the background sometimes in the midst of weird discussions that are happening amongst you and your friends on the couches.
Yeah.
You're in the common room right now. You care about the game and you're going to tune back in the fourth quarter, but you're also very engaged in whether or not bologna is good.
See, the pinnacle of the YouTube chat room is that eventually there will be a relationship that will start and lead to a marriage that will come from the YouTube chat room.
Our hope is it doesn't then end in divorce.
Oh, facts.
Uh-oh.
That's what we're hoping for.
Woo.
So, yes, I took a demerit yesterday, even though I don't know that I actually got it from Andrew. But I should have taken a demerit not knowing John David Washington was Denzel's son. And you guys having to call me on that. Because you said, oh, it's Denzel's son. I'm like, no, it's not.
And then I started questioning myself. Like, oh, maybe it's not his son.
No, it is.
It was his kid.
It was.
He was in the Black Klansman or whatever.
Yeah.
Or not Tenet. Whatever. He was in the Black
Klansman. And Tenet.
Tenet. Yeah. Solid.
Birthdays.
Let's go.
Ken Burns is 68, Ramon.
Ken Burns was in Bones, the Vampire Snoop Dogg video movie. Wasn't he?
No.
Ah, nice.
That was Ken Bones.
That was a very confident answer.
Speaking of which, Ken Bone, remember Ken Bone?
Nope.
From the 2016 election, red sweater guy that asked the question in the debate. No. Became famous for like 2 days.
No, I don't remember him.
Looks like a Jeopardy contestant.
Because he was famous for 2 days, so I don't remember him. I just don't.
Look him up. You'll remember as soon as you see it.
No, I'm good.
Listen to Shafe Loaf, man.
I look like Mr. Belvedere with glasses.
I've got better uses of Google than that.
You got ones that you need to keep behind that glass.
Hey now.
I don't need you to see all your lizard stuff.
Saucy nugs.
Ken Burns is a documentary filmmaker, Moan.
I met Ken Burns.
You met him?
Mm-hmm. He's got weird hair.
That's why he's making documentaries.
PBS. Yeah,
well, he's one of the best to ever do it.
Baseball, Civil War,
country
Vietnam,
music.
Country music. He makes like long, like 12, 13-part documentaries.
Not ringing a bell. Not ringing a bell there.
You need to tune into PBS more often, Mo.
Or for the first time ever.
PBS? And watched that since I was like 10. Okay.
That's my point.
Geddy Lee is 68.
Hey. Is that Fetty Wap's backup singer? That's not
Fetty and Geddy.
This dude just did this.
That's so stupid. That wasn't it.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Batman versus Superman.
What's funny is he did get his profession right with that first horrible.
He actually did. He got the profession right. He got the industry right.
Really?
Yeah. Music.
I have no idea.
Shafe.
He is the bass player and lead singer of the band known as Rush.
So that's partial credit right there.
Music industry?
Yeah.
No.
Now, I'm going to pull out a famous quote from this segment in this show's history. I don't expect a black dude to know who Geddy Lee is.
Yeah.
Or Ken Burns, really.
Well, I'm not going to say that. Nah. I don't know.
Definitely not Geddy Lee. I didn't have a study guy for this.
No, you're not getting a... No.
No partial credit?
No, you're trolling too hard.
The fam is saying I get credit for that.
No, I don't care what the fam says. I don't see that.
The fam's always going to say.
I see you wrote, I get partial credit for this. No one's responded to it.
Ron said they feel right. Welcome
John
to
Michael
chat,
J.
Right?
Nope. CJ New. No.
Come on, y'all.
Martina McBride's 55, Mo.
Martina McBride. She's a country music singer.
Yes, she is.
Hey.
One down.
Hey.
Josh Radnor is 47, Mo.
Josh Radnor. Was he in Clockers?
Clock you.
You really think I'll be listening to you? I ain't listening to you.
What about Blood In, Blood Out?
I've never heard of that in my life.
Hey, man. All right, I got one for you. Janky Promoters with Young Jeezy. He wasn't in the net.
Get that out. Get the Google machine down, Mo.
These are movies I know.
You would not have said Janky Promotions with Young Jeezy.
It is. As the movie that I know. Janky Promoters.
Wasn't he the dude in How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, he's the lead in How I Met Your Mother.
Is he?
Ted Mosby.
Cool.
Ted.
Will Wheaton is 49.
Will Wheaton.
He was in Sunset Park. Basketball movie.
It's possible he has walked through a Sunset Park.
Come on, man. He wasn't in 8 Mile?
No.
It was not in 8 Mile.
Since Star Trek: The Next Generation, he's been a long time nerd guy for a while, geek culture guy.
Guest star often on Big Bang Theory.
Yes, that's true. He was Sheldon's nemesis on Big Bang Theory, in addition to Kripke.
Probably wouldn't even know his name if I was watching it anyway.
Yep.
Dang.
Tim Gunn is 68, Mo.
From Guns N' Roses?
What named after somebody? That band was not named after somebody.
I went with the last name that I knew. I'm like, that felt right there. Now you get
you were quickly like, hey, Guns N' Roses.
That was the obvious right there. That's not it.
Tim Gunn's fashion guy.
Ah,
hosts with Heidi Klum and stuff like that.
That felt right. Guns N' Roses was legit. Mm.
Wanya Morris. 48.
Boys to Men.
Okay. I'm just giving you some bonus ones now. We've already gotten through 5. I can't say Danger Mouse is 44 because it kind of gives it away. But Danger Mouse is 44.
Danger Mouse?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know who Danger Mouse is?
I ain't got a clue.
Okay. Well, maybe you'd hear some Danger Mouse in the locker room.
A pretty talented DJ?
Yeah.
Man, these DJs, there's so many of them. They giving me credit. I got 2.5 right today.
No.
Nope.
Yes. We round that up.
They is Ron Slay writing 2.5. You and your brother don't give you points.
No, those were good.
I'm going to give you two.
Lonzo said, make it work, man.
You know what Lonzo says? Lonzo doesn't run this show.
I ain't listening to you.
Boy, y'all hard on the Thursday,
Facebook
man.
Chat, John Holmes, new listener, I think, or somebody I have not seen in the chat. I love the birthday segment. Well, John, that makes one of us. We'll be right back. It's J. Martin and Moe, 104.5 The Zone.